So let's just open with prayer. Yeah.
So Father, in Jesus' name, we simply invite you to come. And Lord, I invite you on the authority of your word that says that if we knock and if we seek and if we ask, you will come and you will answer and you will open. And it says if we keep knocking and keep seeking and keep asking. So Father, throughout tonight, I'm going to keep seeking, keep knocking, keep asking. I'm challenging these men, Lord, to keep knocking, to keep seeking, to keep asking. They never fall into the lull of the entitled child who just assumes that there's going to be food on the table. Because asking doesn't mean that I'm doubting whether or not you are good or going to provide or whatever. It just shows you that my heart is acknowledging my need for you. And so God, I just pray that you would open the ears of our heart tonight to what you have to say, not to what I have to say. I pray that you would put words on my lips that are from you and not my own, Father. This isn't a quiz, this isn't a test, it's not a public speaking class where I got to get a grade. It's an obedience class. That's what life is, Lord. It's about being fearlessly obedient to you, Lord. I pray that when we hear your voice tonight, we would write it down. We would write it on our hearts, Lord. That we wouldn't so quickly just be hearers and go away, or look in the mirror and go away and forget what we've seen, right? But God, we would go away and be doers, Father. Yeah. Just say it with me out loud. I say, I want to be a doer, Lord. Not just a hearer. Come on. I want to be a doer, Lord.
I want to be a doer.
Not just a hearer.
Not just a hearer.
Come on. Father, would you even open our understanding to the fact that when we declare things with our mouth, Lord, it changes things, Lord. When we think things in our head, God, you know, sometimes we just stay bouncing around in there. So, Father, let us open up our mouths and declare what's true and good. In Jesus' name, amen. But here's the thing, guys. So many times that, you know, you got on your paper in front of us. So many times, guys, we're believing half-truths, thinking that it's the fullness of truth. You know, it's kind of like the thing about deception. So this is funny, because last time I spoke to you, we spoke about deception. Who remembers the really interesting part of the definition of the word deception? Does anyone remember? There's something in the word deception that just way different. Remember? It's being unfaithful to your lover. Deceived. Remember that? That's like stuck with me so good. Like so stuck. The word deception actually means to be unfaithful to one's lover. And if you just to recap it, like I was like, wow, that's crazy, because I know the serpent like had deceived Eve, or Eve was deceived, right? And I'm like, that's what, oh. In who, which lover, who was she unfaithful to when she took the fruit? Adam, sure, but the Lord, her lover. You know, like, it's just crazy. Deception. I love that definition of the word. So this thing is like, so first of all, what the writer of Hebrews, whomever he should be, is saying that we can do what? What's that first verse saying? This should really
turn away from you.
That we can turn away. And so because it's possible that we can turn away, what does he tell us to do?
Beware.
Beware. Exhort. Encourage. What'd you say, Joe?
Be careful.
Warn, right? Didn't your next verse say warn, verse 13? You must warn each other. Man, here's the deal. If I'm warning you, I'm not talking to you normally like this. Right? Any dad in the room knows if your kid's about to eat that berry from the thing that you don't know, if it's poisonous or not, your warning cry is not, hey Isaac, can we just have a intellectual discussion right now about the pros and cons of you swallowing that berry? Right? Guys, I'm telling you, in whatever conversations you have with other men that are enslaved to this thing called sin, I'm not even talking about lust per se, I'm saying this thing called sin, which we're called to put to death, alright? Stop having patty cake conversations
It's not a patty cake issue. You patty cake your way down to hell. Right? Wide is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the road that leads to life. And how many find it?
Few.
Do you want to be the many or the few, right? So that's why when we feel the Lord slapping our hand or disciplining us or our wives say, you know, just because this is being recorded, I won't say, but let's just say, look, when our wives say, yo, why are you doing that? Why are you looking at that? Why is that on your phone? Why is that on your internet history? Why is that on your... Oh, so what are we going to do? So we're going to wave our, I have a right to be offended and angry and to tell... right? I mean, let's just repent. I know, and you know, I'm looking at y'all because I know I can look at you, but you know, I would be careful on. But you feel like, can we just like even my guys, I'm talking about myself too. Like, just whatever. Like, if we're hurrying out the door, it's not always about sexual sin. Like, we focus so much on that. But, you know, if you starve every other thing that makes you feel entitled to step into a place of sexual compromise, if you starve all those other things and you cut all those other things off, you know what I'm saying? You're not going to find yourself standing in the place of sexual compromise. I was just talking with someone the other day, and they were like, you know what? I realized it's not about me always just wanting to lust after women. It's about me getting angry and then feeling entitled because I'm angry to do what I want because X, Y, Z, or God is not treating me how I should be treated. You follow me?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, let's, Lord, open our eyes. Because sometimes it's like, again, I'm going to say it so much. I just know this is what I'm holding. I'm like an irreligious guy, Mike, and he told me that he was in prayer, and the Lord said to him, Mike, I know a lot of people on their way to hell doing a much better job of not sinning than you. Mike was so focused on, man, I just need to stop masturbating. I just need to stop this thing. God was like, I mean, this is, but I think sometimes I think, I don't care about you masturbating. I care about you fixing your eyes on me. I care about you laying it down. I care about you being obedient. I care about you spending time with it. I'll take care of it. What does it say? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these other things. What you eat, what you drink, what you wear. And trust me, all these other things wasn't just what you eat, what you drink, what you wear. It was the whole fruit of the Spirit. The last of which probably should be first when we read that backwards, self-control. Controlling ourselves. The Spirit is the thing that gives us power to control ourselves. My wife told me I need to talk slower. I'm going to practice that today. Yeah. Yeah. ADD. I'll cut off the ADD. Hold on. All right. Keep focused, Justin. Okay? So listen to this. Take care, brothers. I know it says and sisters in yours, and I know it does apply to sisters, but can we just say, brothers, take care. Take care. Lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart. Man, I'm telling you this. I hear it all the time. What happens when you try on your own strength? I mean, you don't realize you're on your own strength. You tell yourself the half-truth. Sorry, I just spit at you. You tell yourself the half-truth. Then no, man, I'm walking in God's strength. But I just can't beat this thing, and my marriage is just going down the pits. So what do you begin to do? You have it. Just take the evil part off. If you're not willing to confess that your heart's evil, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's what the Word says. If you're not willing to go there, and you're like, yeah, but I'm still pretty good. You know what I'm saying? I was just, okay, I'll pause it. I was just talking with a dude that knew me at Living Waters Church, the church that I was at, where I was a youth pastor for 7 years, and he had just came across, we had just connected online. I'm like, hey, let's meet. And over the last 10 years, God has radically changed both of our lives. And he basically was looking at me with eyes saying, like, so wait, when you were leading the youth group, he was like, you were breaking into that video store right there, stealing DVDs, and then breaking in at the hotel to watch porn, and then coming to Sunday night to lead our youth ministry that I thought was awesome, and I was being duped. I'm like, yep. Like, why How did I say it? Hold on.
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked.
Like, we're so deceived. Guys, your heart is wicked. You are less, like, just, you follow what I'm saying here? Like, if you need to digest this scripture by covering that up, lest any one of you have an unbelieving heart, God will reveal the evil part to you. But so many of us, we need to warn our brothers against unbelieving hearts. Like, if you're sitting here and you just be honest with yourself and be like, yo, I don't believe that I can stop doing those things I've been doing and falling into and finding myself driving to this place and wanting to do that. And you're starting to lose hope. You're starting to have an unbelieving heart about God's power to actually, like we talked about 2 weeks ago, rip us out by force. Remember that? Romans 7. He ripped us out by force. Thanks be to God. Right? That's what the verse talks about. Who will rescue us from this body of sin? Thanks be to God who rescues us to take by force. That's what that word means in Romans 7. Some of us have started to have an unbelieving heart about God's power to actually save. Come on. Like, raise your hand if you're kind of there or you've been there or you're pretty close to it. Or can you really redeem this marriage? Brothers, we're called to warn each other. If you're not warning each other when you hear a hint of it, guys, it's not a... See, this is a stinking lie that we believe. If you guys are both having coffee, here's how we got to where we're at in the church today. Two men struggling with sin, who know that God wants them to walk as in the light, free men, not submitted to the flesh. Are you following me? Am I talking slow enough? Mm-hmm. Two men that are not walking in perfection, that have just themselves that week fallen into temptation and given in. They're sitting at coffee and they're doing the accountability thing because the book or the thing says that that's what they're supposed to do. But they sit next to each other and one says to the other, how you doing? I'm good. I mean, I just want to be honest with you, brother. You know, I struggled with, you know, I gave in to masturbation or I looked at this. And the other one says, he thinks, wow, I did that too. I don't really have grounds to like confront him because I would be a hypocrite. That's confronting him or feeling permission to confront him based on whether or not you're walking in rightness or perfection. That's not the grounds we're called to hold each other to. Why are you freaking meeting in a coffee shop to talk about your issue if you're going to talk about it based on your own revelation or experience of freedom? That might give my words authority. That might give my words hope, or that might give me a perspective that's different than yours. But it's not about your perspective. It's about what God calls you to. So when you're sitting, I'm just pointing to you. And so when you're sitting next to a brother who's struggling in sin, and he says the very same thing you did, man, step up. Say, bro, brother, man, I'm so sorry. I'm so angry that you're, because I did that too. And brother, we can't do this. We cannot live this way. What? How can we make sure that we don't fall for the same stupid fruit, deception, lie? You know what I mean? Guys, we have to, based on God's word, who He is, be able to confront each other. It's not a righteousness of my own, you know? Whether you're walking and you've got your figured out or not, is not the ground you're standing on. On who He is and what He's done and what He's paid for, is men the grounds. So this half-truth stuff, where you're like, yeah. Like, dude, if you're sitting and talking to somebody anywhere, I don't care. And you're like, yeah, man, I've been walking in. Yeah, it's been freedom, man. I've been freedom, but then I, like, guys, I'm just hoping that you, I'm hoping that you will confront each other on these half-truths. Because listen, if you keep saying,
Like, imagine you having a new conversation. God comes down. Hey, this listen. Because this, I hear this in my kids, literally in my kids. I say, Wesley. I say, Wesley, did you push Penelope? Because she'll come and say, Dad, Wes, push me. She can talk now, so the kids are screwed, you know? Like, she comes, Dad, Wes. And sometimes she's like, me. He pulled your hair. Yeah. So I go, Wes, did you push Nelly? No. You didn't push Nelly? Because, I mean, she's 2 and there's no junior sin. She's full of, she hasn't submitted her life to Christ, so she's good at making up a lie as a 16-year-old. I'm like, I don't think she made that up. Dad, I did push her. I'm like, think you, Wesley, come on, just be honest. Dad, I didn't push her. I mean, I bumped her down. No, for real. But guys, imagine the conversation we have with God all the time. Hey, Eve, did you eat that thing that I told you not to? Oh, God, we've been eating. Man, I love the papaya. I love the kale. I love the corn. Man, this corn. Yeah, but did you eat that thing? Oh, man, I just all the stuff you gave us, God, is so good, man. No, but did you eat that one? No, I didn't eat it. I mean, a bite is not eating it. You know, husband, did you just check out that girl we just drove by? Guys, I'm guilty of being as quickly fleshly defensive when I'm confronted without, like, I'm not ready to confess. You know, you've heard some of my stories of my unwillingness, even as a free man, to confess my sin. And what God did to teach me, flat on the back, pinched nerve in the back, that 3 days later when I finally confessed, went away in an instant. Like, this is how God was and does talk to us. Did you just check out the... No, I didn't. And we tell some big long story about how we... Instead of saying, you know what? I am sorry for what I just did. But here's what I want you to know. I don't feast on that. I don't want that. My desire is for you. You begin to speak truth. You say, by God's grace, by His power, I just even break whatever was just connected there, and I just say death to that. Because I know right now it sounds like perfect, and it's not going to always happen that way so perfectly. But guys, we have to be careful lest we just fall into these half-truths of like, I'm free. I'm free. I'll be right there, God. And you're still chained to something that you've never put to death. You've never broken free and really allowed the Lord to come and break you free from. He's the one that lets the captives free out of prison, right? I'm not even to the good part yet, right? You fall away. So by the way, at the conference, they talked about this. This kind of backsliding. This is a place in Scripture where it brings this concept of falling away. You know, you don't just... It's not like an earthquake happens and the earth opens up and... Oh my goodness, what happened? No, falling away. Like, you climb mountains, right? You do rock climbing. You do that rappelling thing, like... Fall away! Whatever, you know, like they get the whole... Like, it's a pretty, like... I mean, Jared... Well, no, who just you said that the other week, Nick, that scripture, you know, something about, I'm going to say it like a fortune cookie, he who plays with fire gets burned. No, there's that scripture about, right? Don't be deceived lest you take a fire into your bowel or belly.
It's a romantic fire that's bosom.
We need to be the brothers to one another that realize it's possible for us to be so... facade holy and yet dead, and we just need to call each other out on that. But this is a good part. But encourage one another day after day. I love it in Scripture when it says this. As long as it's called today. There's a couple places in the Scriptures which is like, you know what I mean? Like, lest you be tempted to think that this need for this thing we're talking about is something that dies with culture or was just written for that time.
As long as it's called today. Dude, that's just such a good word from Jesus, right? That other scripture, as long as it's called to don't forsake the gathering together, for as long as it's called today, or something, consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Today, as long as it's called today. Guys, you know, if you know me, you know how I feel about the application of the word accountability in the church. It's what I just told you. We get together and we patty cake each other because we're afraid to confront. And we did, okay? By the way, accountability is not mentioned at all in the scriptures. Never once. That word is not in the Bible, just so you know. There's things called brotherhood that's in the Bible. And I don't know how many of you have brothers, but you tell me. Did you grow up patty caking your way through family life of brothers? No. Right? Right? No. Did we ever patty cake as brothers? Guys, so you know how I feel about the application of the word accountability. This scripture's talking about be careful, brothers, careful, you know. So if you're going to claim that word, seek out accountability or whatever, how about you seek out a biblical definition of brotherhood? And maybe you just need to do a word study. Like, go through the Bible. If this is resonating with you, you should go through the Bible. Give yourself something. Look, you're not going to see me every 2 weeks to give you homework that you're not even doing anyway. That was intentionally a burn. Yes.
I would get that.
Praise God. All right. You should get. All right. So you must be caring about it enough. Good. But guys, we got to search out what does it mean to be a brother? And this is what I want to just talk about. Lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Just so you know what's going on in my head. It is so hard for me to talk slow. I feel like I'm talking like a snail.
And I'm talking like a snail.
Okay. All right. Man, just feels so... Okay. I feel like it's going to take like 2 hours. Okay. So why? This whole thing. So why? Like, I didn't study this out definitively for the last 3 months. But I feel like this is sort of like the closing statement just to this little nugget right here. Why? Why all this? So why take care lest any one of you fall away with an unbelieving heart, falling away from the living God? And why encourage or warn or admonish or as long as it's still called today? Why? For what purpose? Lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. This is what I think we need to know. This is what you need to write down. This is need to write in your heart. Or if you're going to listen to it 5 more times, I pray that one of them, this jumps out at you. Sin is a deceitful little bugger. It's not passive. Yeah. Listen, this is what I feel the Lord was saying. Sin is not something you do. As long as you think it's a thing, then you're like, well, if I just don't eat this thing right here, then I'm not sinning. Sinning is a reality of flesh that has not been submitted to the death on the cross, the resurrection by the Spirit, and life in Christ. If you haven't done that, you're in sin. Like, it's not like, did I sin today? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we almost feel like, it's like, did you buy that book from the store? That's not it. Sin is not this. It's not passive. It's active. In one of Gallagher's books, he talks about like the spirit of the world, the culture. Like we are, and I don't want to get. Actually, I won't get super theological. I will just present this idea. But you know, in some places in Scripture, it talks about how you're born in sin. I really don't want to get theological, but I just want to like throw this out there because guys, we've got to get past our Sunday school answers on stuff.
Let me just go there for 1 second. So, if you're born in sin, which is a place in Scripture where it says that, and in sin my mother conceived me, David said, and somebody say, then you're born in sin. Well, 99% of people that believe in the Bible would say that a 2-month-old, a 3-month-old, a 1-day-old, a 1-minute-old that dies, that there's biblical precedent that that child is going to be in heaven. Because they hadn't reached an age of sort of willful or conscious, like turning against the Lord, whatever. And that, again, I'm not going to search all this out. But here's the thing. So I've, you know, for a million reasons, I would tend to agree with that. But the Bible says that we were born in sin, though. So, like, wait, where's the thing? I feel like we are born in sin. Like, the culture, the world, the spirit of the air, what we were born into, whoop, out of the womb is sin. Like, this place that you're in is sin. Okay? Like, that's the spirit of the world. That's the thing. But, so to me, when I, like, read this, what comes to my mind, and you know, I could search it out. We should search it out. Like, again, you should never swallow without chewing. I'll say it again. You should never swallow without chewing. Right? So just because I'm saying it, just because some preacher says it, just some guy you watch on YouTube says it, just because some guy with degrees next to his name says it, or just some fool on the street says it, don't spit it out or swallow without chewing. Chew on this. But like, we fall away. Our hearts are hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. It is something that is actively trying to permeate everything that it can get in at you. That's the prince of the air. That's the spirit of this world to make, to come, steal, kill, and destroy. You don't have to walk into a porn shop for the enemy to be actively seeking your life to steal, kill, and destroy you. Right? We were in sin long before we watched porn. But this word. So sin, just open our eyes to that, Father. We're going to keep knocking on that, Lord. That sin, open our eyes. It is setting up camp against the chosen, against the elect. It is making war against you. If it can deceive you into believing that you're free, I just heard this today. Yeah, I just feel like it connects. Some guy was talking about, this preacher was talking about Saul. Saul was king, do y'all know this, for how many years? Anybody know? 40? I didn't even know. So Saul was king for 40 years, but he was only anointed for 2. So he was being used in the office without the power of God. Like, it says he reigned for 2 years, but he was, you know, he was king for 40. So this idea of like, how was I even saying that? The deceitfulness of it is like for us to be like thinking that we're something just because we wear the name Christian, but yet we're displeasing to God. You follow me? Mm-hmm. Like, to, when I heard that, where my mind instantly went was, man, Lord, I repent for those years that I thought that I was experiencing marriage. But really all I was just married by a title. You know? It's just a totally different thing. You might be your dad's son, very physically, practically, sure. But you may not be acting like it and not enjoying the fruit of sonship. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of dads that don't want to see their son for a long time. Like, you know, not a lot of sons that don't want to see their dad. Like, but you still have this title, but that doesn't mean you're entitled to the fruits of everything, you know, or that you experience it all. But this is the thing. That word hardened, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. It's to make hard or to stiffen. Does anyone know what this word means? To obdurate, obdurate. That's what the Greek. So guys, it's not like this is a 3-part sermon where I'm going to say, so what's the cure? And then give you a couple steps to whatever. But here's what I can tell you. I studied geology in high school, in college. My major is oceanography.
Here's what I know.
There are some rocks that you put in water that won't absorb the water. Their crystalline structure is so tight that water can't get in them. There are other rocks that have a looser structure. If you put it in water, you can't help but absorb water. You can't help absorb what it's in. So, if the deceitfulness of sin is a slow, gradual hardening, well, praise be to God that the presence of the Lord is, just go down the list, is a spring of living water up inside of you, right? It's an all-consuming fire, and all-consuming means all-consuming. Because you know, it's however you want to like apply it, that rock whose crystalline structure is so tight that even though you set it in water, it won't. Do you know when that rock changes form? Science teachers in the room all said, yes. It changes form under the right amount of heat and pressure. Even the hardest of stone, and by the way, it just naturally in the world God gave us, at some point that thing usually ends up underwater anyway. So like, whether it's the water of the word, whether it's all-consuming fire, whether it's heat, whatever you want to apply it. Guys, there is nothing that has been hardened, stiffened. In Acts, it talks about Pharaoh's heart. Like there's nothing, guys. I don't. Wherever your heart is right now, wherever the level of unbelief that's in you, because unbelief in you, I'm telling you, is that hard rock. You can't just. That's why you got to take care of brothers, warn each other. Because you can't just, oh, that hard rock, oh, I hope it gets soft. That's not how it happens. Anybody want some concrete, how do you break? And 50,000 times later, it's like all the structure just gives up. Guys, what's up? The level at which you experience pain is often the level at which you are resistant to change. The level at which you experience pain is often directly related to the level with which you resist change.